The Bible told us last week, we looked at the temple being finished, completed. We've seen how there was a dedication ongoing for the temple and the altar and the worship that accompanied. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. And the response, the interactive worship of the congregation. For how God put His plan together, built the temple, and how glorious the temple was. This morning, we pick up, starting with verse 14, as Solomon prayed. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven or on earth like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand as it is this day. Therefore, Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David, my father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel, only if your sons take heed to their way and they walk in my law as you have walked before me. And now, O Lord God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David. But will God indeed dwell with men on earth? Behold, heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built? Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you, that your eyes may be open toward this temple day and night, toward the place where you said you would put your name, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes toward this place. And may you hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. If anyone sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath and comes and takes an oath before your altar in this temple, then hear from heaven and act and judge your servants, bringing retribution on the wicked by bringing his way on his own head and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. Or if your people Israel are defeated before an enemy, because they have sinned against you, and return and confess your name, and pray and make supplication before you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people, Israel, and bring them back to the land which you gave to them and to their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflict them, then hear in heaven, forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk, and send rain on the land which you have given to your people as an inheritance. When there is famine in the land, pestilence or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, when their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever plague, whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people Israel, when each one knows his own burden and his own grief and spreads out his hands to this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive and give to everyone according to his ways whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of the sons of men, that they may fear you to walk in your ways, as long as they live in the land which you gave our fathers. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for the sake of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm when they come and pray in this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. When your people go out to battle against their enemies, wherever you send them, when they pray to you toward this city, which you have chosen, and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause when they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin. And you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, and they take them captive to a land far or near. Yet when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication to you in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done wrong, we have committed wickedness. And when they return to you with all their heart, with all their soul, in the land of their captivity, where they have been carried captive, and pray toward this land which you gave to their fathers, and pray toward the city which you have chosen, and toward the temple which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Now, my God, I pray, let your eyes be open, and let your ears be attentive to the prayer made in this place. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, we do again turn to you. And Lord, we do ask that you would hear our prayer and answer our prayer, that your eyes would be upon this place, and our your ears hear our requests, that you might forgive, that you might move and act, that we might see your hand, Lord, and your spirit and fruit according to your plan. Lord, we again turn to you and commit this day to you, and we ask that you would bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Beginning a new year, 2008, I entitled the message, Going Straight in 2008. You know, beginning a new year causes us to evaluate, take stock of what we accomplished last year, how last year went by so quick, what we failed to accomplish. It causes us, starting a new year, to look ahead. What do we really want to accomplish this upcoming year in 2008? What are our aspirations or goals? Many people, we're aware of, make resolutions to, lose weight or quit smoking. And that lasts for about 10 days. And they don't stick to their resolutions. Many people make big resolutions, to go sober, to quit drinking, to quit, doing drugs or getting loaded. Some people that want to go straight in 2008, a big change would be for leaving a lifestyle of sin, an extreme, a gay lifestyle. I'm going to go straight. Many people desire it. It's in their heart to go straight. But this morning we're going to look at going straight as in, the way of a direction. The direction for 2008, going straight with Jesus. We see in Solomon's prayer this morning that he prayed that the temple would be a house of prayer. That, for the purpose that, this building, we know that this building can't contain you, for the heaven of heavens can't contain you. But Lord, do look down at this temple. May it be a place, a building that would, capture your attention. That you would look down upon it. That you would be attentive to it. That you would be attentive to the cries of your people in it and that look toward it. That you would move and act, not only that you would see with your eyes, hear with your ears, but that you would listen and move and act, forgive on your people's behalf. Give attention and focus toward this place. Here, verse 40, chapter 6. Now, my God, I pray, let your eyes be open, let your ears be attentive to this place, to the prayer made in this place. Lord, may you hear, may you see, may you move. And Solomon's prayer, praying that God would focus his attention upon the temple, that it would be a place where not only he prays for himself, Lord, as I pray, that you hear my prayer, that you see, that you give attention to, but the people would have a place. As, you know, they look toward this place, as they pray at the temple, at the altar, before the temple, you would look down and hear their prayers. It's kind of like saying, you know, God is so big, there is no place, specific place. Let this be a place, Lord, that you, you know, focus in down upon. And as if, you know, you would look down upon this place, that the people also would look at this place. You would meet it. It almost kind of gives you the idea of, you know, as you tune in your dial, you know, and you come to a certain frequency, you know, 103.5. And then you hear that place. You're tuned in at that place. And it's the place where the transmitter is transmitting a signal. And you're to receive. You're to tune in. May it be a place for the people to pray and for you to, you know, give attention to. A meeting place. Seven times in chapter 6, he emphasizes toward this place. Verse 20, when I pray toward this place. Verse 21, he says, you know, toward this place. When they pray toward this place, hear, forgive. In verse 26, when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, when they pray toward this place, confess your name, turn from their sin because you afflict them. You know, let this be a place that the people can turn to. Let it be a meeting place in prayer that they can meet you. May you hear their prayers at this place. May it be a house of prayer. Verse 34, toward this place, toward the city. When the people are away from Jerusalem, but then they turn toward the city. As in the book of Daniel, the Bible tells us when he was captive in the city of Babylon, the Bible says in chapter 6, he opened up his window towards Jerusalem, got down on his knees and prayed three times a day toward the city, toward this place, you know, toward Jerusalem, towards the temple. In verse 38, three times, he mentions, you know, to pray toward their land, toward the city, toward the temple. A direction of prayer, you know, getting straight in 2008 is, you know, one that goes along with Solomon's request. He prays that God would direct the people's direction to a place where God meets their prayer. We see in this passage, you know, he prays for the people, and he prays that they would evaluate themselves. If they're, you know, two times he says one time he says when they sin against their neighbor, may they realize they sinned against their neighbor. Come to this place, pray for forgiveness. May you forgive them. Two times he says when they sinned against you, Lord. See, when they evaluate their sin, sin being in the wrong place, let them repent. Let them turn toward the right place. Let them come to you, open up to you, confess to you, and bring their sin, confessing their sin to you. Solomon, you know, explains or asks as he requests when the people fall into the wrong place, when they fall into sin. May they be directed to the right place. May they come to you. May they confess their sin in this place, toward this place. The Bible tells us when there's problems, when you're defeated by your enemy, when their heaven shut up, there is no rain. Look at verse 28. It says, when there is famine in the land, pestilence or blight, mildew, locusts, grasshoppers, problems. When the enemies besiege them in the land of the cities, whatever plague, whatever sickness there is. You know, God, life happens. And life happens for a purpose. And really, Solomon in his prayer says, you know, when you have these problems, all kinds of problems, you know, through the whole gamut, range of problems, sickness, pestilence, blight, mildew, economic problems, relationship problems, you bring your trouble, your affliction. But he puts it in the context that in verse 29, he said, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people, when each one knows his own burden and his own grief and spreads out his hand to this temple, start to realize that, you know, God is trying to get my attention through problems. And, you know, when the people come to the realization as they evaluate, if they're in sin, they sinned against you, God. They sinned against their neighbor. They come and confess. They have problems. God trying to get their attention. When they know, the Bible says, and when they own their own grief, their own burden, come to you and pray that you would forgive, act, restore. John Corson gives an analogy of a rubber band. He says, you know, hey, no one's going to take you out of his hand. But we, if we wander and continue to wander, it's like a rubber band stretching farther and farther away from God. It's not a matter of we, you know, whether or not, you know, we can remove ourselves from his hand. It's a question of how far we get and how far or how hard we're going to hit when we return. The farther we get, the harder the hit. To know that these problems, you know, to get our attention, we're to evaluate to get it straight, that we can walk straight in 2008. God alone sets us straight. Here, verse 30. The Bible says that he knows our hearts, and God alone knows our hearts. You know, we can't follow some kind of formula. We can't, even Solomon, you know, hey, he prayed for certain requests, but God answers his prayer with terms and conditions of his own. We don't have a formula. You know, he knows our hearts. And he deals with us according to our hearts. He sets us straight. The Bible tells us, look in verse 27. The Bible says that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk and send rain on your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. He's the one that sets us straight. He's the one that teaches us the good way in which to walk. He wants us to learn how to walk in the good way. He wants us to walk straight in 2008. And he's the one that teaches us. The Bible tells us in verse 37, you know, when someone drifts, they become captive. And it says that when they come to their senses, interesting how it's written, yet when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive, the definition of that actually means when they bring back their hearts or our hearts, when they drift so far and then they come to their senses and their hearts are again brought back in the right direction toward him. Toward this place, Solomon said, with confession, with the truth. God's trying to teach me something. He's trying to communicate to me something. He wants me to learn how to walk in the good way. He wants me to walk straight for him, straight for Jesus. He uses things to communicate to me, to us. He desires to bring our hearts back to him. The Bible explains to us that he alone can set us straight, knowing our hearts. He alone places us on the right course, setting us straight. You know, there's some scriptures in the Bible that would, you know, parallel staying on the right path. Deuteronomy, therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Another one, according to the sentence of the law which they instruct you, according to the judgment which they tell you, you shall do. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left from the sentence which they pronounced upon you, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom and his children in the midst of Israel. So you shall not turn aside any of the words which I command you this day to the right or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. Only to Joshua. Only be strong and be very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside to the right hand or to the left, staying straight. In 2 Kings, the Bible tells us, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. 2 Chronicles. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Proverbs, the Bible says, do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. To stay on course. To stay on the straight and narrow. And Jesus said, you know, we enter the gate. Narrow is the gate. Difficult is the way. But to stay straight with him. He's the one that, you know, we're to evaluate where we're at and the place where we're at. If we're in a wrong place, if we're in sin, it's up to us to realize and to turn to him. But he's the one that sets the course for us. He's the, and him alone knows our hearts. The Bible tells us a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. He's the one that lays out the path that keeps us straight. Not only does he, you know, set us straight, but he also will keep us straight. Straight in 2008. Look in, you know, as Solomon prayed, you know, that God would use this place, turning to this place, as a place where the people can meet him, where he would look down upon their prayers and hear their prayers, where they can learn and be taught by him and to turn to him, that their prayers would be answered. God answers Solomon's prayer. In chapter 7, look in verse 1. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Fire out of heaven came and consumed the sacrifices on that big brass altar. God answered, hey, I accept the sacrifice. Solomon, I hear you praying. I'm answering. Then in verse 15, notice what the Lord says in chapter 7. As he answers Solomon's prayer, he says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. Okay, Solomon, I will look down at this place. I give my attention toward the temple. It'll be a place where I will grant, you know, my ears listening, my eyes giving attention to the people. He answers yes, in essence, to Solomon's prayer and request that this place would be, you know, a place, a house of prayer, and that it would be a place to tune in to him. Yet, he capsulizes the terms and the conditions in verse 14, chapter 7, a familiar verse, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. He lays out conditions to have answered prayer, to have continued prosperity and continued blessings. If my people will humble themselves. He lays out three, you know, requisites. One, that you have to humble yourself as you come before the Lord. You know, humbling yourself is no more than really seeing him for who he is and we for who we are. You know, that he's our creator and we are a creature that he's made. To acknowledge who he is. Humble yourself. Pray, seek my face. Turn to the right place. Again, in our heart. that their heart would be brought back to Him. In our heart, in a right place, right directed, staying straight for Him. Turning to Him. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Now, He doesn't say, you know, stop sinning. He just says, make a choice that you turn from your sin. Turn to the right place. Turn to Him. You know, staying straight, walking straight, 2008. You know, it's getting difficult to serve the Lord. Maybe more difficult in the time in which we live. And yet we're called to be faithful and to follow. And there's a, you know, a formula here that he capsulizes. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their sin, their wicked ways, then I will hear. See, the conditions will be met. I will hear and I will heal their land. Heal and hear, you know, answers to our prayers. I was calling on or looking on the internet. I got a problem with one of my motors. It's got a little crack in it, a big crack, actually. And I need something to fix it cheaply. Is there such a miracle, you know, additive that will actually heal, you know, a cracked cylinder? So I punched in there and I'm thinking, hey, maybe we can find something. Maybe there's something out there people don't know about. And sure enough, there's a bunch of products out there that people swear by. I was talking to this one guy in California. He calls it Heal-A-Seal. It's a product that actually goes, you got to take the engine, you know, you got to bypass the heater core and it's smart and, you know, drain and flush and then do this. And it's all scientific. You know, you reach a certain temp, you start the car and you pour this product in, you start the car and you rev it at so many RPMs for so much time. And the claims are you can literally watch the smoke dissipate and end, which in creating a permanent fix. He says, I'm telling you, sure this is going to work? He says, if you do it according to the instructions, it cannot fail. Science. Scientific. Yeah, man, that sounds good to me. It'll save me $600. If it works, well, that's what he's saying. He gives us a formula. If you will, I will, he says. If you will humble yourself, if you will seek my face, if you will pray, if you will turn from your sin, I will. I'll bless you. I'll hear your prayers. I'll heal you. Cannot fail. Solomon prays. God gives the terms and the condition for the answers. Going straight. 2008. You know, we can spiritually look at, you know, being sober in a new way. You know, the Bible tells us, be sober, be vigilant. Watching General Petraeus and, you know, the improvements we've made in Iraq, listening to the soldiers over the holidays, wishing their families, you know, happy holidays, to come with a new report. Hey, we're doing better in Iraq. He says, hey, you know, we're Geraldo talking about cities that you couldn't even walk in a year ago now, you know, occupied, safe. Talking to the soldiers, they say, yeah, it's much different, but you got to keep your guard up. You got to continue to be alert. That's what they've been saying in Israel for a long time. To stay awake and alert and sober, you know, straight in 2008, leaving a sinful lifestyle. An extreme, the gay lifestyle. But the sin that we flirt with, you know, the sin. The Bible tells us that there's only one thing that separates us from God, and it's sin. And He gives us the remedy. If you humble yourself, you pray, and you seek His face, turn from your sin, then He'll grant you hearing and healing. To leave the sin. 2008, going straight, going in the right direction. Lord, help us in 2008. A new direction, His direction. You know, our hearts in a right direction. Bring our hearts back to Him. Solomon prayed for you know, the answers. Oh, Lord, would you hear? Would you make this place a place that the people can come to, face toward, pray to you, and that you'd be attentive to, that you would hear, that you would move, that you would act, that you would forgive, that you would respond. You know, the New Testament tells us that he answers. Yeah, the Bible tells us he answered at the cross. You know, the Bible says that one of the signs that happened, miraculous signs as a result of Jesus dying upon the cross, the Bible tells us that the veil of the temple was torn in two. You know, no longer a barrier between God and man because of the death of Jesus Christ. We see, he responds at the cross. The Bible tells us in Luke that they brought Jesus to the place of Calvary where he was to be crucified. The place to look to for a response, the cross. And the Bible tells us that God accepted the sacrifice. As the fire came out of heaven, the Bible tells us again that once and for all, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ pleased and God accepted, pleased the Father. But the New Testament gives us, it's not a place of a building, but a place of a person. It's found in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, it's, you know, the Bible says, great is the mystery, you know, that God became flesh. You know, it's miraculous that God would become one of his creatures, that he would become a man in order to communicate to us. And Jesus, you know, much different than anybody in history, says, you know, he came as a man to die on the cross for our sin in our place. And he says, I am the way. You know, not show you the way, the straight path. But he says, I am the way. And he not only leads and carves the path ahead of us, but he tells us that, you know, he not only, you know, sets the course or gives us the course, sets us straight, but also the Bible tells us that he promises to enable us to walk the path, you know, to empower us. You know, you turn if you are willing. If you're willing, I'm willing. The Bible tells us that he promises the Holy Spirit to enable us to walk in the way. But the same principles apply today in the New Testament as God gave in a capsule back in the old, that if you will, I will. He promises if we humble ourselves and we pray and we seek his face, we turn from our wicked ways, then he would hear and that he would heal and set us straight and keep us straight. It's a promise, his word. As Solomon began his prayer, Lord, keep your word. I mean, he has every intent to keep his word. He's definitely going to keep his word. Let's stand. I was thinking of all the things that I could title the message. What do you anticipate in 2008? There's so many words that rhyme, man. You could have so much fun. But the truth is, you know, we're to, you know, dedicate ourselves to the Lord. He's the one that will keep us straight. And he knows our hearts. He knows how much we need him and how much reliance of sustenance is necessary for us. But we're to, you know, keep his word, to obey and turn to him, turn to this place that he's calling us to this morning for this day and week and year. Lord, we do call on your name. And Lord, as we begin a new year, as we rounded another year, Lord, we turn to you. And we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to keep us this far. And Lord, again, we call upon you to keep your hand upon us. Lord, help us. Give us focus and discipline and devotion and dedication to stay straight for you, Lord. Not to turn to the left or turn to the right, to stay on course, the course that you set for us, Lord, that you led for us. Lord, again, we turn to you. We thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that you would help us renew our strength. Fill us with your spirit, Lord. And based upon the shed blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, recharge, rejuvenate us, Lord, for your purpose and your plan for this upcoming year. In Jesus' name, amen.